korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Welcome to a Brenna M.A. Roasted podcast. It's me. I got Michael Johnson. The Menace is here waiting for Shang to come through. How you doing, man?
Good. Not too bad. Just been taking it easy, relaxing, you know, and enjoying myself, time with family, friends, and it's going good.
Nice. So you're in Florida right now?
No, I'm actually back home in St. Louis.
Is that where you're from? You're from St. Louis?
Yeah. Born and raised. So I came back to, you know, spend some more time with the family, you know, get my mind off some things, and I'm good.
So who's staying at your place in Florida?
Oh, my lease was up last year. So, you know, yeah, I just got out on time and just came back here. So.
Got it. How you dealing with the whole quarantine / world burning? Insanity going on right now.
Yes, a bunch of madness, and then nothing's changed for me for quarantine base wise.
Hold on, I'm getting weird. Michael, hello.
You know, like even before it was going on, we were still training. You know, I had a fight to get ready for, so nothing really changed. Yeah, no, right, strange.
And then
watching all these protests and everything, man. Hopefully some shit changes.
Yeah, man. It's gotta change. It seems like they've passed some reforms where police can't choke people anymore. So that's good.
Yeah, well, they still got lethal weapon with their pistols. So.
It's a good point. Well, you know, you gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Have you been doing it? Have you been going to any marches or protests or no?
No. And, you know, I've kind of wanted to, but at the same time, you know, I've just been, you know, so caught up in, you know, get my situation back on track. And they haven't really seemed to be very good places, man. Just a lot of shit just keeps going on and happening. And kind of tend to, you know, maybe, you know, stay away from things that don't tend to go my way sometimes. So. Be putting myself in situations like that, you know, who knows what's going to come across me.
Are you worried about going to a protest and getting into a fight and winning the first round again? And then, like...
Yeah. It happens, right? It's gonna be those first few minutes. Yeah, the shit will come into play.
I mean, you are undefeated in first rounds of fights. Like, you might be the best fighter in the history of first rounds.
No, it's fucking crazy, right?
Like, have you ever lost a first round of a fight? You haven't, right?
I don't think I have.
No, every...
I don't think I have at all.
No, I honestly think, every fight, the first round, you won every first round. Do you think maybe, like, you're too good at the first round, so then you kind of, like, you're like, oh, I got this, and then, fuck.
Maybe, man. It's something like that. Me, I'm not making my in-fight adjustments or what. Maybe I do get a little too ahead of myself after, you know, just having so dominant first rounds. And maybe I need my ass whooped every fight in the first round. Then I need to come back, you know?
Well, I mean, your last fight, you were looking so good, man. That might have been the best Michael Johnson we've seen in a while. And I almost – look, it's obviously a loss, but I almost don't even count it as a loss because it's one of those things where you're just like
– it was weird, right?
It was like the kid threw a Hail Mary, you know, and like I think you're the better fighter, and I think anybody who watches that fight knows you're the better fighter. I just think that you just got caught, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I got caught, and I got put in a position where – you know, I didn't realize how deep it was until it was too late. You know, I just kind of just took my time and been cool with it, you know, instead of getting out of there as fast as I could, you know. So hats off to him. You know, it was definitely a Hail Mary. And, you know, I saw his face. He was terrified. He was holding on for my leg for dear life.
But that's also one of those things that I think would never happen again. Like, I think that you learn your lesson. And you know what I'm saying? It's never going to happen to you again. Like, you're going to know exactly what that happens to get the fuck out of there.
Definitely, 100%. And I took it like that, you know. I don't know if you guys can see, like, my face and my reaction. I'm like, fuck, and I'm walking off in the back. And, you know, that was a kind of easier one to swallow than some of my recent losses, just because I know it's not going to happen again. Everybody watched and saw what happened. Like, he's not the better fighter, but, you know, he just got me in a position, and, you know, he won it.
Even as, like, a wrestling coach, for me, it was like if I was coaching a kid who was up 10-0, and the kid just threw a Hail Mary hip toss move that just almost – or like a spladle or something where you're like, ah! Oh! But it wasn't like – it was one of those things where you're just like, okay, all right, let's you know.
Yeah, shit would never happen again. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Are you worried about getting cut or no?
No, not necessarily. I was, but I was that right away. But at the same time, I think man, I just think my tenure, how long I've been in the game, the way the first round went, and even my last three losses. I mean, shit, like, I come out on the losing end, but those are fights I was winning. Those are fights I had won, I had in the bag, and I just let them slip out. So, you know, I'm hopefully, you know, I get that respect that, hey, he's been in the game for 10 years, 20-plus fights, and I got one more left in my contract. And, you know, let me finish fighting it out, and we'll go from there.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and even the guys you beat, man. The guys, I mean, you wins over Poirier, wins over Andre Feely. You beat the greatest of all time, Lobov. I mean, you're fighting against Justin, Josh Emmett. You were winning that fight. Elkins, you were winning that fight. Gaethje, you were winning that fight. So, I mean, these are all fights that, like, you were winning. The Nate Diaz fight, was that just a thing of you just got in your head?
I think it was. You know, it was weird. In that fight, I was getting off on him so easy. And then the second round, he, like, kind of grabbed for my hips. So I'm thinking the whole fight after that, like, damn, he's going to try to shoot and take me down. So instead of me acting first, I was just sitting there waiting for him to do something, and then his long-ass arms, he was just catching me, and, you know, it just took me a little while to catch up. I was barely missing him, so. But that's another lesson learned, and hopefully me and him are cross paths again.
Now, two guys that you fought, Khabib and Gaethje, are going to fight each other. Now, you've been in the octagon with both of them. I think you might be the only one to ever do that. Who do you like in that fight?
Man. That's an incredible fight. Justin just keeps getting better. Keeps getting better. You know, and I don't know if I'm not the only one to see that. He seems like he's adding newer stuff to his game, whether it's just a small little movements or him not punching as much. Man, Khabib, you know, he's that puzzle that nobody can really put together. So I see if it's just like it is. If Justin can stay on his feet, he wins that fight. But if Khabib does Khabib and gets him down, then, you know, it's going to go like every other fight he's had.
The Gaethje fight you were winning, was that a matter – was that a thing where you just got too excited?
A lot of shit went wrong that fight. I don't know if you guys could see it, but, yeah, matter a little excited. I was fighting half knocked out after the first round. I caught a huge headbutt from him in that first round, and, you know, we really didn't get a time pause or maybe, but I was seeing two of him that whole fight, so I was just trying to push it together, you know, for those how long we fought. And it was a point where, you know, we got into that scuffle, and, you know, I was hurt, but, you know, Big John's yelling in my ear, do something, I'm going to fall, I'm going to call it. So I just dropped, like, to get out of the way of him punching me. And hopes that, you know, he would follow me down and we'd keep fighting down there. But he called it right away, and that's how it is. So 12 seconds. I wish we had those 12 seconds back.
I mean, that's the thing about your fights also, man. This is also why I think they'd be crazy to cut you. And I don't want you to get cut, but I think you could win $1 million in the PFL. So if you do get cut, I want to see you become a millionaire, because I think you'll win that. But you've never been in a boring fight. By the way, we got Shang here. We got Michael Johnson.
Hey, what's up, man?
Michael the Menace Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's happening, boss?
You always bring it. You're like, you should name your name, bring it, because I never seen you not be like, oh, fuck that, it's on.
Side note, Chang, Michael wants to be a comedian, he told me.
Okay, well, then bring it. Then bring it.
Yeah, for sure. I got to link up with y'all. Y'all got to spread some knowledge my way and let me pick up on it some more.
He's got a type 5
I think I'd be better of a host. Yeah, better of a host. You know, I got like 5 or 10 minutes in me, bro. So let me bring you out. You know what I mean? Let me talk some shit, bring y'all out. And then go in the back and you know, hit stuff, take some drinks, and then come back out and do it again.
Right.
So we were saying that Michaels fought Khabib and he also fought Gaethje, who were supposed to fight each other, I think, in the fall. He thinks Gaethje's got it, as long as he can keep it on the feet.
You think between Gaethje and Khabib?
But this guy fought both of them.
I agree with you. I think that Khabib, I don't think Khabib can handle Gaethje. Hard knock. He's a hard knock.
He's tough. It's gotten better.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If it stays in the feet, Justin's got him, and Justin's got great takedown defense. So it's gonna be difficult.
I don't know. But Khabib, if he's not wrestling bears or riding fucking dragons.
Yeah, he's a problem, bro. I think he's gonna stay undefeated.
What was he saying to you when you guys were fighting? He was talking, but I couldn't. What was he saying?
If he gets out of the game soon, he's planning on this being his last.
What was he
just talking shit on the title in the middle of the fight?
Yeah,
he's just saying how he deserves the title and this to that. And then he tried to tell me to give up at one point. I just had like a back smack of my feet. I'm like, give it up. I'll fight you from down here, bro, but I ain't give it up.
Exactly.
I mean, you fought a lot of guys who talk shit. But was that like the nicest shit talking you ever heard? Like, please give up?
You might be right about that. I didn't put two and two together. He is that kind of please. But yeah, it would have been some crazy shit, you know? Like,
I mean, what was Nate Diaz saying to you?
Me and Nate were just going back and forth. You know, he wasn't really saying anything. He was just my kind of pointing and laughing. Yeah, just his little facial thing. So, and me and Nate started. We were talking more shit before the fight than anything, and then after the fight, you know, me and him became real cool. You know, we talked to the backstage. So, I fuck with Nate, man. Nate's a good guy.
Right.
When you beat Tony Ferguson, what was Tony saying to you? Anything?
Nothing. Not at all. That was before Tony became the loudmouth Tony Ferguson. Yeah, he was a little bit more reserved back then when I fought him, but now he's way more outspoken nowadays.
Were you surprised at how well Gaethje did against Ferguson?
I was. That one thing I was surprised about. But at the same time, you know, I just said, like, Tony's a guy with just great cardio, and he puts the pressure on people, and they make it – that makes it hard for him. And but he's really easy to be hit. Yeah, I think he's a little. I think he's a little sloppy. He sits there, no head movement, and Justin's the wrong guy to fight like that because he's got heavy hands and he throws everything in combination. So he was hitting them with ease.
Yeah,
but you got to, you know, Ferguson, the weight cut and all of that shit he was dealing with. He was dealing with a lot of other physical shit. So I agree with you. He should have fought him that way, but at the same time, he had some other shit he was dealing with. And
definitely.
Yeah, and you can't – it kills me when people say, no excuses. No, fuck that. That is an excuse.
He's an idiot, but he did his own weight cut. Who the fuck waits for a fight that doesn't happen?
Fucking Looney Tunes. But I'm saying, it kills me. As long as I've been watching this and involved with this, they always say, no excuses. If my toe is broke, but I go forward because I know I need that money and I need to do the fight – My toe was broke.
Yeah, but he did like a post-fight weight interview. He weighed in by himself, interviewed himself, and then did a stare down in a mirror. But to a fight that wasn't even happening. I mean, the guy's just fucking.
Yeah, that's some Looney Tunes shit. But you know, and I agree. I agree on the no excuses thing and everything like that. But at the same time, man, like, honestly, which fighter isn't going through shit when we fight?
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it real with you at that, bro. Like, I've been in the game 10 plus years, in the UFC 10 plus years, and I can probably name you a handful of fights that I've been in without shit going on. You know what I mean? And I've got 20 plus in the game. So it's hard. You know, I've never had, like, super bad weight cuts. My Emmett weight cut was pretty bad. But other than that, like, I mean, you go with personal shit to injuries. Like, I've been fighting injured for the last 3-4 years. You know, just because, you know, just they might be a little nagging injuries, but, you know, Shane, you said it right. I need that money. I need to come forward. Like, that's how we get paid. So it's just right. That's just the life that we live, you know?
Now, two of your teammates over at the, I guess it's the Hard Knocks, right? It was the Black Zillion, now it's the Hard Knocks, are fighting each other. Usman versus Gilbert Burns. You've seen them together. You probably trained against both of them. Who wins that fight?
Yeah, the best man wins.
Oh, that is so bullshit. Come on, man. Come on. Dude, they're fighting each other.
I knew what y'all wanted out of me. The best man wins.
That is some bullshit. Come on. I mean, you've seen them. All right, have you ever seen them spar?
Yeah, of course. We've all been teammates for the last like 10 years. Ever since our gym is open, we've all been teammates.
So who gets the best of who in sparring?
It just goes one way or the other. You know how it is. Like, Kamara's got the wrestling, you know, Gilbert's got the jiu-jitsu, so it kind of evens each other out, and then they just bang on the feet. So I guarantee you, it's not going to be like Usman and Woodley or Gilbert and Woodley or you know, Gilbert and Maya. Anything. They're going to fight, and they're going to fucking fight for 25 minutes, I feel. It's probably gonna be close to fight of the year. Best man wins.
So how
do you know who's gonna win? I already know who's gonna win.
You're gonna say Usman.
I'm absolutely saying Usman.
Because he
impressed me in the Cody fight. I'm sorry, he impressed me because I really thought it was close, and he started inching him out, and then at the end he started fucking mollywopping him. He mollywopped him.
How impressive was Gilbert against Woodley though? So.
I think Woodley's brain, Woodley is not, something's gone off with Woodley, but I think a prime Woodley, I know something's off with him, but I'm saying a prime Woodley, I don't know. But I just think that I wasn't as impressed as everybody else was. I was more like, well, you're fighting a Woodley that is so distracted, it just seems like he's not focused. And he does have a ton of other shit going on that I think that if you fight, you gotta kind of, I don't know if this makes sense. You got to have like those blinders horses have on at the.
Yeah.
You got to kind of be this way. You can't be this and then, yo, I'm doing my rap album and then you can't.
Yeah. I don't know if he really wanted to be in there fighting and then, you know, you could see it. So, right about that one.
So Michael, give us a scoop. When Usman called him out, was there bad? I mean, when Gilbert called out Usman, was there bad blood at the gym?
I don't know, and that's one thing. And that's one thing I took because I've been out of Florida for probably like a month. Like after my last fight in Jacksonville, I probably stayed in Florida for a few days, and I came back home. And you know, I don't know if you noticed, but my Instagram is deactivated. I don't really go on my Instagram that much. I just kind of stay off of social media for a little bit. So I've been so out of the loop and everything. Like, friends had to tell me that they were fighting. I was like, oh, shit, they're fighting? Like, I thought Gilbert would have fought one more time before they fought.
All right, so what happened? Did you get some girl pregnant? You got a girl pregnant? Is that why you're what happened?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. No, just distractions, bro. I was, you know, I was going through it myself, a little personal problems. And, you know, Instagram is just, you open it up and it's just a bunch of fake bullshit. Like,
all right, so it's got to be with a girl. It has to be with a girl, right? It has with a girl. Come on.
Trust, it has nothing to do with a female.
It could be family. It could be family.
What happened? What are the problems? Talk to us.
Just personal, bro. I just didn't feel like... You know, if you get depressed a little bit and you pop up on some social media and everybody thinks that putting out that they got the happiest, most successful fucking life of all time, and you're saying, the shit gets to you a little bit, right? It's a bunch of bullshit. So
But dude, listen, man, you're a kid from the Ultimate Fighter. You had a lot of problems growing up. You made it to college wrestling, made the Ultimate Fighter. You got to like the number top five in the world. A couple fights didn't go your way, but you're still a legend. In my book, you're a fucking legend, man.
Everybody knows that, dude, and that's a fact. Everybody knows it. Fucking Dana knows it. You know, Lex Luthor. I call him Lex Luthor. But Dana White knows it. He knows it. And everybody that you fought knows that there's no, like,
you always, I mean,
that dog in you. Like, you're like,
you always bring it, man. There's no reason because you lost a fight that you should feel the need to get the fuck off social media, because who cares, bro? It's bigger than that.
Yeah, for sure. That wasn't the main thing, but yeah, you know, like, it's something to get away, but it's going to come back. You know, it's gonna come back. I'll get it back and everything. And I'm not finished in this game. I know that for sure, bro. I'm only 34, so I got a good 5 years left on me. Shit, DC's what, 80? He's fucking still fighting.
Yeah,
looking good too.
I don't know. You're kind of looking a little bit like him. Don't lower that camera a little bit.
Yeah, no, remember, I still got my full hair.
All right. So let's talk about some MMA news. So Amanda Nunes says she might retire. She says she's got nothing else to prove. I'll tell you one thing. If she retires, the division
becomes... I would hate to see her go.
But the division becomes a lot more exciting, though, because nobody's coming even close to her.
Yeah, but
I don't think that she's going to retire.
I hope not, but she's having a kid. What else has she got? I mean, she's just that much better than everybody else. I mean, what is she gonna do?
I mean, maybe she goes, takes some times off, has the kid.
Yeah.
It froze for a second.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what did he do? Fight two girls at once?
And then come back when she sees two girls at once. I'll watch.
Now, how do you think she does against Henry Cejudo? Because I was joking when I said it. But people think that she would actually beat Cejudo. There's no chance, right?
No, man. And the thing is, like, I don't care how dominant a female is in females, like, MMA, like, there's still a man and a woman. And, she's big. She's got size. She's great. I'm pretty sure she's tough. And she can take a punch. But at the same time, you know, Henry's a man. And if he laid a few good shots on her, like, she's just, like, no. Like, she's still a woman, you know?
Yeah. No, Henry said he wants to come back and fight Volkanovski. How do you think that fight goes?
I think that goes pretty good. That's a pretty good fight. I mean, it just looks Henry's got that pressure on him. I thought Henry retired, though.
He said he's going to come back. He's going to come back and become 4Gs or 4Cs. He wants to be quadruple C. And, I mean, if he wins it at 125 – 135 and 145, that's pretty damn impressive. You got to admit. I mean,
yeah,
no one's done
that's
that.
Impressive. I mean, he's one fucking tough nerd. He's a fucking nerd. He's one of the, like, he's badass nerd up until you at.
he is a tough nerd.
I think that he would have a problem. I think Volk would give him the business, truthfully.
You think so?
I think so. Even if you think, you know what? Because even, you know what? You got to think he comes with that pressure fighting up front. But that motherfucker, Volk, he just seems like he got some kind of machine parts in his fucking head.
Well, he used to be 225 pounds. And now he's like 145. Like the dude. Shit.
Yeah. I'm saying there's something. I don't know. I think Cejudo would have a fucking problem with him. I think it'd be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might even stay at the 35 and 25s.
Another guy you knocked out, Dustin Poirier. Probably your best win, right? You think?
Yeah, I would think so.
It's just crazy because before that fight, I texted Dean Thomas. And I go, how's Michael Johnson going to do against Dustin Poirier? And he goes, Poirier is as sure of a bet you can make. That's what Dean told me. And then you just knocked him out. Like, I was like, man, that just shows you that you can't bet on MMA, man. Like, holy shit.
I missed that. I was getting a call. What happened?
I texted Dean Thomas right before that fight. And I go, hey, I want to bet on this fight. How's Poirier look? And he goes, he's as sure as a bet as you could make. And then you knocked him out in 30 seconds. And I was like, so, I mean, you didn't just beat Poirier. You beat, like, the best version of Dustin Poirier, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it wasn't like a slack or a older Poirier. It was like, yo, I'm at my prime. And he got dusted.
Yeah.
So, I was not surprised. I was surprised by how fast. I wasn't surprised by it at all.
Michael keeps freezing. Michael, you here?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you guys. Yeah, okay. It was last video, yeah.
So,
That was a Poirier and who's he fighting?
Dan Hooker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to be a great stand-up fight. I wish I could get some stand-up fights like those. To keep you guys grapplers. But, you know, I don't think we've really seen how good Hooker could, like, actually be. You know, I don't think he's fought the guys like Dustin in this. So I think this is really going to be his first true test.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he beat Ally Aquinta pretty good. And, but Al's a gamer.
And Al's definitely a gamer, but there's a certain point where all that, this shit don't, after a while, it's like, okay, as soon as you stop moving, I'm
gonna get it. But somehow, reason, Al just keeps beating up Kevin Lee. Like
well,
that's like his kryptonite, his Ally Aquinta.
Because Kevin Lee's soft. No, because Kevin Lee's soft. That's why you guys know that.
He's soft?
You know he's soft a little bit. You know he's got that, huh? He don't like to get punched around.
Dude, he knocked out so Gillespie. He fucking Gillespie just woke up yesterday.
Like, no, but okay, no. I think Kevin Lee. I think that he's like when he's on the ground, he's a beast. But I think he don't like. He just seemed like getting punched in the face after a while. He goes, I don't like this. I don't like.
When it gets a little tough for him, when it gets a little tough for him, he really wanted to bang.
It does seem like Kevin Lee, I guess, you know, like they always say, one guy's a hammer, one guy's a nail. When he's the hammer, like Kevin, like if you can get in Kevin's, if you can win the first round against Kevin Lee, he's a different fighter. If he wins the first round, you know what I'm saying? Like he's going to win the fight, mostly.
Oh, yeah, a confident Kevin Lee when he's in there and he's winning a confident, he's hard to beat. Now, I'll give him that. You know, he's very talented. But I just think when it comes down to it, when it's time to win, it's not going your way, and it's time to bite down and try to get it back. I don't see him really getting that point.
Hey, Michael, do me a favor. Can you leave it and then come back so I could see you?
Yeah, yeah. All right,
cool. Yeah, dude.
Adam, the fight where I saw the best fight, I was going to ask him this too, was Chet Congo, where it looked like there's no fucking way he's coming back.
Pat Barry.
And he was knocked all over the ring. I'm thinking, he's done. And at the he just kept fighting. And at the end, he just went, and then all of a sudden, you see wobble, wobble, and it was over.
Yeah, that was against Pat Barry. That might have been the best comeback I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because he was losing. I mean, he was
losing. I mean, that fight, I would say 9 out of 10 refs would have stopped that fight already. The Kevin Lee, Pat Barry fight we're talking about, Michael Johnson?
Pat Barry?
Ever when Chet Congo, Pat Barry.
Chet Congo, Pat Barry.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
Chet Congo, what yeah. I'm saying is, Chet Congo, like, where Kevin Lee, if he's losing that bad, he's lost. Whereas in Chet Congo was like, no, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep swinging until this shit is over. And I think that's why, I think there's two different kind of fighters. Like, the fighters like that, where they just, you know what, I'm getting my ass fucking mashed, but I'm going to catch this dude. And those kind of guys, I don't think Kevin Lee's that kind of guy.
You know,
so you said that fight was my first UFC fight. I remember that fight yesterday. This was nuts. The Chet Congo, Pat Barry.
Wait, you were on that card?
That was my first fight. Yeah, that's what I fought, ever fought a lot to. It was in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in Pittsburgh. Yep, that was the first fight. Yeah, after the Ultimate Fighter.
Were you going crazy?
Yeah, me and Matt Mitchell were going crazy because we were both there. Because we were both kind of competing for like a knockout of the night bonus. And then that shit happened. I was like, oh, man, it's done. Like, they're both getting a knockout of night bonus.
You know what's crazy? So I actually posted something recently. I said, because sometimes I just wake up. You ever just, Shang, like you just wake up and you have a joke on your mind? Like you fall asleep to joke. Right. I get like jokes in my sleep. Or And I woke up, and for some reason I felt like posting, like, not even a joke. And I was like, motherfucker, because everyone, right, I feel like there's a lot of people, there's a whole younger generation of people that just want handouts. You know, they just want things given to them. And life isn't fair for them, you know? And they go, I go, you want to win? Here's how you win. You show up early, you're last one to leave, you put your head down, you work your fucking ass off, don't quit, and you just keep doing that over and over and over and over again. Especially with wrestlers. That's how you're going to win. It's going to suck, but that's how you're going to win. Eventually, you will win. And somebody wrote, that's a fucking immigrant mentality. And I thought, yes, that's exactly what that is. That's why immigrants, that's exactly what that is. Immigrants have a right. They work their fucking ass off. And it brings me back. There was a fight last week. I don't know if you watched the UFC. There was a girl who trains at an American top team. Her name was Agapova. You see this girl? She looks like a young Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And she was tall and just fucking lighting this other girl up. This girl, Hannah Cyphers. And then I read about her. She won $50,000. She lives in Kazakhstan, where the average pay for the year is $3,500, which we should move there, become fucking millionaires.
Yeah.
She rides her bike every day to practice, an hour to ride, because she doesn't have a car. And then she got hit by a car and still didn't, and then like had to pull out of a fight, came back. But that's a girl who you have to look out for. And I'm sure you see it, Michael Johnson, at the gym, right? You see these some of these guys from Dagestan and some of these guys from other countries, they work harder.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is like, you hate to say it, but it's like, yeah, oh, everybody wants to come to American Dream. Oh, yeah, but they see, like, I got to come here. I got to put my head down and work and become, you know, world champion. Because, you know, that's, you know, they're being successful and winning. And it's just like us in here, man. Some of us got the same mentality, the same idea, and that's what it takes. You know, we weren't grown up, born up with, you know, silver spoons in our mouth and come from rich families. You know, a lot of us got to, you know, work for the shit we get.
Where did you grow up?
St. Louis, you know, grew up in Missouri. I grew up here, you know. It wasn't like crazy projects or nothing like that, you know. But we weren't like fancy living either. You know what I mean? Like, we still had a good, like, my mom worked night shifts in and out to support, you know, me and my two other siblings. You know, I had to be up at 5 o'clock every morning to bus out the school to the county, you know, from like elementary school all the way till, you know, I graduated. So, you know, we didn't have it easy, but we didn't have it like super extremely tough either. You know what I'm saying? So.
Do you experience a lot of racism growing up or no?
You know what? I didn't. And I don't know. And I was a black kid, a city kid going off schools. And, you know, it's crazy because what I see days is nuts, because I've been around, you know, just nothing but white people, Wild County schools and everything. And I'm like, man, I've probably only experienced racism a handful of times in those, you know, 17 years. You know, I'm like, none really at the school, you know, like other kids against me. But, you know, it's crazy. In college a little bit, but. You know, that's just because guys are getting mad, and the only thing they can say is, oh, let me call you.
What do those kids say?
Went Shang. Out.
What, Shang, what do you think he's going to say?
They say, I know you can beat my ass. That's exactly it. Who the fuck's going to say something to you? It's like, I haven't experienced racism because other people like their eye in their socket. I just can't see. Yeah, like certain people, you know, not to bother.
So you think if you're a tough black kid, you don't experience as much racism as if you're.
You don't experience as much outward racism. It's not gonna walk up on you and say crazy shit because there's a good chance that might be the day that guy snaps and decides I'm gonna put my knuckle through your ass face.
What about the other way though, where like. You, like a lot of girls are like, ooh, I've never been with a white guy, a black guy before. Is there benefits of racism where like women like want to know what it's like? Like, is it true? Do they really have huge dongs? Like, do you get like?
No, it's benefits to racism until you get pulled over, until you try to buy a house, until you try to, you know, like I've had it where clubs have told me, hey, we already got a black guy booked for this month. You're really funny. Well, we got a black guy booked for this.
But I've also had the other end where we have too many straight white males.
Yeah.
Also racism.
Right. I mean, right. And then it's usually Indian people. and get the bookings instead. But no, I experienced it a lot, but I'm so fuck everybody kind of like I go forward so hard. I just don't like even when I'm doing sets, I go hard, so I don't care. Like I've done mostly white shows, and if somebody comes over to me afterwards and says something to me, I had it happen at Flappers. I was like, well, I'll fight you.
And what happened at Flappers?
Some Trump supporter. Sorry.
All right, I think your Wi-Fi is racist.
Yeah, it might be.
So what happened in college?
Oh, nothing, man. Nothing crazy. You know, just typical bar shit going on and, you know, getting into some little things. And I think that's why I finally, like, really did learn how to start fighting in college.
No, we were saying, like, do you ever get benefits of racism? Like, white girls are like, ooh, is the myth true? Do they have huge dongs and stuff or no?
Possibly. That could have happened a few times back in the day. You know, like the myths are true. Yeah, come find out for yourself. or the white girl that wants to make the dad, the racist dad jealous and mad, so she brings me home or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
see, nobody talks about that side, right? Nobody says, yeah, you get pulled over, but how many times did the girl want to piss off her dad and you got a blowjob, right? So you don't think there's like...
I think one's worse than the other. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
One's worse than the other.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I think that also the fact that you've made it to the level you made it, man, you're going to get like every fight, you're going to get some tail if you really wanted to. Like if you wanted to come out after a fight, there's women that wait outside. A fight since it's, oh, hi, come here. And you don't get that?
Well, Mike's married. Are you married?
No, you're married. I'm saying before that. Semi-married. Yeah, of course.
Wait, what do you mean you're semi-married? How do you become semi-married?
But prior to all that, semi-married is, you know, it's in the works. That's what it means. That's how you get semi-married.
How do I become semi-married? Well, why did
it's
I fall
too
back?
Late? It's too late for you.
it's too late for you, Adam. You gave it a shot. Too late.
That's crazy. All right, so let's talk about some of the fights this week. By the way, so the fights this week. By the way, what do you think? Real quick about Masvidal and Conor McGregor retiring and John Jones. Michael Johnson.
I think he froze again.
Damn. This dude's like...
I thought it was going to jump back in. It didn't.
He should just walk out to Frozen.
No, I already know. I don't think he's going to... None of them are going to retire.
I know. Is it a weird time to ask for more money, though? Because the UFC is not making any money on anybody showing up.
I don't know. Not to me. I think that the bottom line is you know who the people are to bring the numbers. After you seen that shit in New York with the bad motherfucker belt and how much play and juice fucking Masvidal got from that, him and Diaz, man, that shit was like a regular fucking championship fight. It was amazing. I thought Masvidal dusted fucking Diaz off. I thought he dusted him off from get-go. Front kicks. Kept hitting him with hearts, fucking, you know, just hard kicks to the body, up top, back and forth. I mean, to me, but that was one of the biggest fights to me of the year. I mean,
I know, but the thing is, that fight shouldn't have been stopped only because I hear you. Masvidal won every round and hurt Nate Diaz, but it's Nate Diaz and he's never out of a fight.
But his eye was a flap. Come on.
It was funny. I sat in front of Nate Diaz one time. It was at a fight. It was Diaz brothers behind me. And it was Woodley versus Wonderboy 2. And the whole time, some guy in the back saying, you guys suck. Like, fight, you pussies. You guys fucking, this is bullshit. And normally you look behind and it's some like jabroni saying that. It was Nick Diaz. Like, wow. So I was like, all right. Well, Nick Diaz can say whatever the fuck he wants. So I go, Nate, man, you ever have a fight that you couldn't get into? Like, you just couldn't, like, show up for? And he's like, yeah, once in the fifth grade. He's like, this guy came up to me and he punched me and I couldn't get my punches back. And he wasn't even joking. Like, he really considered
he was dead serious.
Like, he considers his fifth grade fights. Some Michael Johnson says that his Wi-Fi is horrible right now. So I'm just gonna say all good. Let's do it next week. Let's pick it up next week, right?
Yeah, no, it kept dropping. I would freeze, then drop out. So that means it's not connecting. And every time he started talking, we just saw his face go.
Let's pick it up next week.
Nick Diaz, he lost every round. His eye was a fucking mess. It was a mess, dude. It was one of those fights where you go, I was sitting there going, oh, fucking, somebody stop this. His eye was too fucked up.
Well, what's crazy is that he looked so good against Anthony Pettis. Like, that was one of those fights where, man, like, he looked so good against Pettis that I was back on the Diaz train. Not that I ever jumped off the Diaz train, but he looked so good against Pettis. And I'm like, you know what? I think he might beat Masvidal.
And yeah, but Masvidal looked three fights in a row, where he looked.
Right. So knocking out Darren Till, Ben Askren, and Nate Diaz. He didn't knock him out, but stopping him.
But he pretty much he was housing him.
And his whole thing is, look, I signed a contract, but they kind of stiff armed me, and I want to renegotiate. And the UFC is like, well, you signed a contract. Now, I can see both their points. You know, at the same time, certain guys you got to make happy. You know, and I think he's one of them.
I think Conor McGregor's one of them. Diaz is one of them.
Who? Nick Diaz?
I think Nick Diaz is one of them. You got to make him happy. I mean, he brings more eyeballs to the UFC than a lot of other fighters. And so you can't shirk that away to me. I agree with the fighters completely. It's because I'm going to tell you right now, I know people that aren't into fighting that were like, fucking Masvidal's fighting, because they knew him from – the backyard fight.
Yeah,
motherfucker's no joke, man.
And he also seems like a pretty reasonable guy, where I don't think he's like, I want $30 million for my next fight. You know, he's not one of those guys that I think it's like $30 million or I'm out. Like, you could probably say, all right, what would make you happy? Here's your contract. What can make you happy? And he'll probably come back with a number that's not crazy.
Right. To me, when you see the old footage of him, even when some of his losses – which were so fucking razor sharp close. Yeah. I've seen him in fights where it's like, oh, that could have went either way.
Yeah, I thought he won the Ally Aquinta fight, to be honest. The Ally Aquinta fight. There were a bunch of them that could have went his way.
It could have went his way, but I mean, I think that him going away and doing the crazy fucking reality show got him more focused, and then he came back and was the killer.
He didn't do a reality show.
Yes, he did.
What'd he do?
Masvidal did a reality show for a year.
What show?
A survival show.
Really?
Yes, he did a survival show. He did it so he could – it was a lot of money, and he did it so he could really kind of refocus and disconnect from everything, and came back and was a monster.
Well, there's a guy that, like we talked about before, where there's fighters and there's, like, athletes who become fighters. I mean, there's a guy that was fighting in Kimbo Slice's backyard for free.
Yeah, just the fight. Yeah.
By the way, you ever watch that show Street Beefs?
Yes.
Oh my God, there's some good fights on that. But
you could see if they went against somebody that knew what the fuck they were doing, it would be a
couple of them. I was like pretty impressed, and then there were guys that some guy like OG who won, but like he fucked me up. So, you know.
I watched a couple different ones on YouTube where they have this one where they go down. It's like Fight Club. And the bottom line is I've seen a real fighter. They had this one video where they showed a real MMA guy against a real street tough guy. And it wasn't even fucking close. All he did was as soon as he grabbed him, he started wrestling him and it was fucking over.
And that's UFC 1 all over again. You know, UFC 2, UFC 3. I mean, that's what happened, you know. There's nothing better than watching one of these guys who's like the toughest guy in his, you know, Staten Island nightclub get the shit. It's almost like when you see some of these Instagram people on comedy or some of these people that have popular podcasts go to a real comedy club. See, they don't have that anymore. People don't realize that there's a lot of people now that like they have a really successful podcast and they just they tour and it's their people and they come. But that's not how it used to be. It used to be before there were podcasts, like you went to the Comedy Cellar or you went to Gotham Comedy Club or you went to Stand Up New York. And if you didn't know, if you didn't bring it, it was crickets. And it wasn't like you were not bringing it amongst a bunch of people. It, like there were guys like you and Godfrey and Jim Norton and Pete Coriale and Orny Adams, DC Benny, Judah Friedlander, Dave Attell. And this is when I was first starting up because I used to go all the time. I was like a year into comedy and I just watch it. And there was nothing better than watching a TV star at the time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Go in there and just get fucking humbled. And because it was like, if you didn't fucking bring it, it was done. And in LA, there's still that sometimes at the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, but not as much, you know? And now people just go right to their own, the headline. But I've done it before where I've had comics like go, hey, mind if I do a guest set on your show or whatever? And like, I know them. I'm like, all right, but no one else knows them. It's an impartial crowd. And they come off. They're like, what was that? What? Like, they're shook. I'm like, yeah, because you only perform in front of your home field advantage.
Right. You only perform in front of people like, we love you, Jimmy. You're funny, Jimmy. And then you get in front of a bunch of people like, hey, fuck you, Jimmy. Jimmy, be funny, Jimmy. You fucking suck, Jimmy.
Nobody knows your stories or your little catchphrases. All of a sudden, like, if you don't have a joke and you don't have taglines.
Right.
And then set up, punch, tag, tag, tag. Set up, punch, tag, tag, tag. People are just looking around. Oh, and I've seen it where the whole crowd just breaks out and, like, starts talking.
I seen a comic – he wasn't really a comic. He was more of an actor. What's his Skippy?
Oh yeah, Mark Price.
Is that his real name?
Yeah. From Family Ties.
Yeah. He was on for a long time on TV show. I did a set, and he came in and did a guest set and I wouldn't say my crowd. It was just a crowd, and I've never seen somebody bomb so badly in my life. But when he first walked up, people were like, "Oh shit, it's Skippy." And then, like, 30 seconds later, they're like, oh, Skippy sucks cock. He's horrible. But
black crowds are the most honest. Black crowds don't give a fuck.
You got to bring it. I did both. I would do gigs up in Harlem and do stuff up in the Bronx. But then I still did, like, the comic strip. And I was lucky enough to get in Caroline's comic strip and in some of the major rooms. So I think they're harder. It made me a better comic. I bullshit you not. It made me a better comic.
I mean, what's his name? Who's really funny? JB Smoove. I had to follow Michael Blackson in Florida, and Michael Blackson's a beast. You know,
Michael Blackson's a beast in front of that crowd. I've seen him in front of a mainstream crowd and a regular crowd, and he's almost a parody.
But he does well. He does good enough.
I've seen comics I like. Capone. I've seen some mainstream. They go in front of mainstream crowds and they don't do as well. They just don't.
Yeah. But in front of that crowd,
like an urban crowd, black crowd, they murder. I had to follow Capone once at the Bronx and people was like 3 minutes in, bring Capone back on stage. And then when I got into a heckling match with him, I won the heckling match. And they're like, all right, you cool. Finish your set. But at first it was real dicey because he killed so hard, you know, doing the bodega. He did that, the bodega joke. And everybody, thanks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have nothing like that. So, I mean, I think that the same thing when we were talking about fighters, there's people that are comics and there's people that are play at comedy. And I think there's some people that are like, in the fighting, they're athletes and they're physically, they're perfectly, fit for fighting. And then there's that motherfucker that'll fight you at Ralph's. Hey, you want to go? Let's go out in the parking lot. And to me, Masvidal is one of those dudes. He pieced up this dude backstage because he's like, fuck you, let's go. And he did. And so he's one of those guys. He threatened, he was about to fight. What's my the guy he knocked out? And like
Astrin.
Astrin in the lobby, like in the lobby. He said, "Dude."
Ben Askren's used to shit talking in the wrestling community, like having fun with it, and it's just it's not a game to Masvidal. But meanwhile, I met Masvidal. I did a podcast, and I had Colby Covington, Dean Thomas. They all came to my room and Kevin Lee in Vegas, my hotel room, and he brought Masvidal, and I was like, "You want to be on the show?" And he's like, "He didn't want it. He just smoked weed in the bathroom the whole time." But he was so happy that it wasn't in a real studio, and he was just the nicest, like just a cool guy, like just
he's super chill. But it just seems like he's one of those dudes that he is that switch.
Oh yeah,
I've seen him. He was getting interviewed by Joe Rogan, and he was dead serious. He's like, "Dude, I don't like this dude. If I see him at Whole Foods, I'm gonna piece
him." And Bisping almost got in a fight in like the elevator one time.
He's one of those guys. He's like, "No, fuck you, let's go." And I think that Astros didn't realize he was like that kind of guy. He was not playing. Just like I think Habib is not like that. He's just like, "Yo, fuck that. You can't talk about my father like that and think I'm not going to want to kill you." That's why he jumped out of the ring with a double fucking horse kick. He's a dude like, "No, this is not, this is serious."
When we had Khabib on the podcast back when it was me and T-Rex, and this was like, Khabib was like three fights in. And I go, "Khabib," and I was funny because I had T-Rex, but then he was the bear, you know, that he used to wrestle. So I'm like, "Hey, we got someone on the phone who's pissed off that you beat him when he was younger." And T-Rex like, he was playing a bear. And Khabib starts like dying laughing. And he goes, "You guys are crazy." I'm like, "We're crazy. You wrestled a bear when you were 40 years old."
Exactly. Yes, we're nuts, but you're fucking, you're getting Kodiak bears in headlocks.
We're two guys at a podcast on Fox Sports. You're wrestling bears, which, by the way, they would have had that, like, imagine if the U.S. that would have happened. They would have called child services in like three or
something. Hey, you're like, not allowed to, that's animal cruelty. It's like, yeah, but the bear won a couple rounds.
I asked him, I go, "Who wins, Pettis or the bear?" And he goes, the bear's got better wrestling. And then he goes, "Tell Bear I'm number one contender now. He's old. He has to go back to the line." And then he goes, I go, "But he wants to fight you." And he goes, "Tell Bear, send me location." Right? Like, and then he used the same thing with Connor. Send me location.
And the thing is, when I saw that interview, I thought, I think he's serious.
Oh, he was totally serious. He would have fought Connor in a parking lot in Denny's, like in front of nobody.
That was the one I thought, you know, where people play at hating each other. I thought, no, this is so fucking real. And then only two other ones. I thought for a minute there when Chael Sonnen was talking shit to Anderson Spider Silva. When I never seen Anderson Spider Silva do some shit in the weigh-in, he fucking gave him a shoulder to the face. And I've never seen him, like, get that way with somebody. He's usually kind of respectful.
Yeah.
I think that was like, because Chael Sonnen was just fucking just sunning.
Chael was like, you know, one of those guys that he's so smart. You know, as a comic, you can walk the line. I try to become that comic that can walk the line. He knew how to walk the line where, yeah, some of the things he said, he probably shouldn't have said, but it wasn't like, I feel like Colby, I love Colby. He's a friend of mine. But sometimes even me, I'm just like when he said that, like Matt Hughes got hit by a train. He can't, he's kind of paralyzed. He's finally getting back together. But like his life is altered forever. And when he beat somebody and goes, "Hey, get on the Colby train, unless you're Matt Hughes." Like, he made a fucking Matt Hughes train joke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even I was like, holy shit.
Now, I love walking the line, and I would have been like, wow. I would, you know, where you go like this.
Dude, Matt Hughes, like, he's like permanently fucked up, you know?
Yeah, for the rest of his life, and you're making jokes. That's why I think when he got like his jaw cracked, I think it was cracked. I don't know if it would.
It didn't break though. He thought it was broken. It wasn't. But even worse than that, Chang, is he got kicked out of his own gym. Like, he's not an American Top Team anymore.
Oh, shit.
So he, and I talked to him about it. I called him up, and I was like, you know, hey, man, you know, are you okay? Like, and I didn't want him to think that I was, like, trying to get the scoop for a podcast. Some people think that, like, because I have a show. But, like, Kobe's a friend, you know. So, like, I'll call Kobe sometimes, and he'll call me. And it's not about the podcast, you know. I'll just be like, yo, are you sure you know what you're doing, you know. And he's like, yeah, I'm building a team around me, and I'm bringing in the right people. And look, man, like, it's your life. Who the fuck am I to tell you how to live it? I mean, yeah. Look, I've never been the number one guy in the world at anything. You know, he was the number one fighter in the world. So obviously he has a recipe for success. It's working for him. Now, listen, if I was his coach and I was his manager, I would say apologize to whoever the fuck you got to apologize to. Get back an American top team. You have Dustin Poirier there. You have Masvidal there. Right. You have all those fucking beasts over there. You got all the guys from Brazil, all the guys from Russia. What do you, by making your own gym, you have to bring people in. They're working for you. They're not hurting you. You're paying them. But
they're not going to be able to, they're not going to push him like he needs to be pushed.
I mean, I would assume that.
Fucking,
I mean,
move, dude.
You got Mako as a coach. You got Mike Brown. You got all these guys that with like insane knowledge. And Colby, you were 1 minute away from being a champion. I mean, if you would have won that last minute of the round against Usman, you were tied. The scorecards were tied.
It was that close. I just think that's why Usman has his – he does have that dog in him, because at the end he was like, no, I'm going to keep fucking
– No, he won. He won the fight, and it was a close fight. It was a great fight. I think if they fight 10 times, it might be 5-5. Like, I don't – it wasn't one of those fights where you're like
– It was so close. Right. I know what you mean. It was one – it could go this way, that way. But I think that that's a fucking dumb move, and not building his own – getting his own people together. He needs to be with a bunch of fucking orcs. I'm talking about guys that are just going to push him. And if he's doing that, it's fucking stupid. But
I think so. I mean, look, I look at, like, the history of fighting. That's never worked out. I mean,
ever.
I can't think of one guy, maybe Cejudo.
Tony Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson's a guy who builds his own.
Tony Ferguson, even though, but he's a nut job, but the nut job thing worked for a long time. And he beat some top guys that I didn't think he was going to beat him. Like, he beat him like a drum, man. Like,
but he wasn't the champ. He was the interim. He was the interim champion, though, Tony. Like, he wasn't the champ. Like, right? I mean, he had a – wasn't he, like, the interim champ?
Yeah, but to me, he was champ, because he beat – he had a run other than, you know, Gaethje just recently.
Yeah, he won like 13.
I've never seen – other than Anderson Silva – And Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Tony Ferguson is a guy. But Colby Covington is in Florida, and you got the Black Zillions or whoever Hard Knocks this guy's team, what Usman of those guys. You got American Top Team. You have access to the best fighters in the world. Why would you not take advantage of that?
I think that maybe, like, you know him, the way he comes off, I think maybe his ego.
Well, he said they were trying to, like, They made a rule that he couldn't badmouth his own teammates. So they were trying to harbor his own speech. They're trying to fuck up his own speech. And
I don't know, man. I think it's a dumb move. And I mean, I don't know, dude. I just think it's a dumb move.
I guess we'll see, right? I mean, Woodley says he signed the contract to fight Colby. He says he got the contract, he signed it. Now, Colby might be looking at that as like, all right, Woodley's coming off 2 losses in a row. And he's a threat. So what do I win by beating Tyron Woodley, right? If I lose,
or if I lose from Tyron Woodley,
if I lose, I get fucked up. You know, Tyron's not going to want to lose to Colby. He's going to be extra motivated,
right?
And if I win, I'm right back to where I am right now. Now, if I wait out the Usman versus Gilbert Burns fight, then I could probably get the winner of that fight. So Colby's probably thinking that,
But I still think that if he fights Woodley, it's one of those fights where I think that he needs to do that. I think he needs to fight Woodley to kind of be like, yeah, I told you what the fuck's up. But if Woodley cracks him, then he's going to actually fall notches. I think his status will just go.
Oh, totally. And, yeah. and it'll be a racist thing. Because, like, after he lost, all these people were tweeting, like, like Sean King and this one that like white supremacist gets his jaw broken by an immigrant, which is not what fucking happened. Like, he's not a white supremacist. You know, he says some dumb things, but right. I think it's more of a, as far as I know, like it's hard because if you
I've seen him say some shit that made me
go, look at what he says on paper, you're like, it's not good. But if you listen to him and watch him and see how he is around people, you're like, okay, this guy's playing the heel. You know,
he's right. He's playing the heel, but there's a certain point where even when Trump was playing the heel, there's a certain point where it meshes over and you go, oh no, fuck you, dude.
Well, Trump wasn't playing a heel. That was
fucking no. Dumb. He is a heel. I'm saying that the problem I have with Coat, okay, is he just? I saw he was playing the heel. Now, then after a while, I'm like, okay, dude, fucking stop.
Well, you call Brazilians filthy animals. And then you say Khabib has a sheep on his head, so he could fuck.
Yeah, so that's
so you start saying things like that, and you put that on paper. You go, this guy's obviously a bigot, right?
Right, but, absolutely.
But if that's you know the guy and you know his training partners and you know what he does and you know that, then you go, okay, he's not. So it's hard. It's hard. It's not so black and white.
The stuff he said pertaining to Usman wasn't cool. There's stuff he said that there's after the fourth or fifth time I'll go, okay, I'll give you a pass, you're a good fighter. Then after a while it's like, no, fuck that dude. And yeah. So
but I still wouldn't call
Masvidal said too. Masvidal said, this little game you're playing, because I know you, the game you're playing, you keep doing it, but now you're going over the line. You're going over the line with other fighters, you're going over the line by criticizing other fighters, and now other fighters want to fuck you up.
Well, here's the thing also about Colby is that I've always been like, look. If you're on my team, like you're on my team, you know, like your teammates are the guys in American Top Team. These are the guys that make you better.
Right.
Like, I understand it's an individual sport, but there's no reason to fuck with your own teammates, you know? And that's sort of like what you learn first day of practice is that there's like no I in team. Granted, it's an individual sport, but look, Burns and Usman are fighting each other. Like, you could be respectful and still want to beat the fuck out of
right.
each
other. I've seen fighters that were friends. And if you watch the Ultimate Fighters, there's people that were friends in the house that fought. And then afterwards, yo, man, good fight. Good fight. Way to go. You got me.
Stephen Bonner named his kid Forrest. I mean, that he named his son Forrest.
You can be that way. I disagree with that because I look at how – because you know my favorite fighter, one of my favorite fighters. I got three, my top three, but GSP. GSP, I he rarely got mad. He rarely, he respected them. Even if they were talking all this shit, saying crazy shit to him. I like fighters like that, but I also like Conor McGregor too, and I like Chael Sonnen, but I like fighters like
McGregor. I mean, talk about a guy. I mean, McGregor says some shit that just like, you know, when he called Khabib's wife a towel.
Oh, yeah.
His wife is a towel. Like, dude.
yeah, that's too much. And that's why I think Khabib had that attitude. I think Khabib had that attitude like, oh, fuck that, dude.
You have to understand, though, on the other hand, we're in the comedy business, right? We're in comedy clubs 24/7, okay? Every night of our lives, we're in a comedy club for the most part. So right. We know comedy. We know what's funny. I know a joke that'll get 90% of people laugh. I know a joke that'll get 10% of people laughing. We know that. If you're a fighter in a gym and you just watch Comedy Central and these roasts or whoever, and you think something's funny, you don't necessarily know the line. So in defense of McGregor calling his wife a towel, like obviously you know that calling a Muslim woman with a cloth on her head a towel is not going to go over well.
Right.
But to McGregor, being in the gym, looking at his phone, going, oh, this looks like a towel. I could sort of see how people would fuck up a little bit. And I'm not saying it's right, but you can see how athletes aren't, you know, majors in comedy and they could say things.
But you know what? No, when McGregor fought, he talked all kind of shit, did all kind of little idiot shit with Floyd Mayweather. But even though I thought that was, somebody was like, no, that was a real fight. I'm like, that was a money grab. Fuck you. It was a money grab for both of them. It wasn't because I mean, there was points where he uppercutted Floyd and Floyd literally looked at him and kept walking forwards and smiled. Well, and then the fifth round, he started literally putting, and you've never seen Floyd that, put his head in his chest like, dude,
I think that Mayweather, from what I heard from people that in the know, did not take that fight seriously. And that was not, that was like a sparring session. He went really half-assed in that fight. So I think you're right, but I also think that, like, if they fought again, I don't understand why Mayweather just, if he could have knocked him out early, just didn't. Like, if he would have went out there and knocked him out in one round, it would have been the best thing for boxing. Because it would have been like, look, this guy can't last a round. But to let him go 10 rounds with him, really, it was a moral victory for Conor. Made Conor look really good and did not make Mayweather look very good at all, to be honest.
No, you know what? I if you look at the pre-fight stuff, literally, Floyd Mayweather said, this is exactly what I'm going to do to this dude. I know that he gasses out. I know that he doesn't understand 12 rounds, whole different ball game. And he literally said, probably, and his father, you can hear him yelling, around the fourth round, start showing him what's up. Then he did, and then the fifth round, then the sixth round. And from that point on, McGregor was just getting his head bobbled. And at the end, they had to stop it because it started looking like Floyd started, he knocked his head through the fucking ring, dude.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I was actually really impressed by McGregor, to be honest.
I was impressed by McGregor, but I thought, when I saw the pre-fight thing, and I saw it, and he said, when he said, this is what I'm going to do, but I want to give the fans a show, I was like, they're doing this for fucking money. There's no other reason. This is not, this fight is absurd. If Floyd wanted to really, and Floyd's what, 20 years older than him?
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about doing Pacquiao Mayweather again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the reason I think Floyd is one of the best fighters ever is you got to think he's fighting dudes 15, 16, 20 years younger than him. Canelo was 20 years younger than him and 40 pounds more than him. And he just made it look like a sparring match, like I'm fighting a kid.
It's unbelievable. I mean, look, he comes from, his father was a world champion. His uncle was a world champion.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. Like, so it's all kind of inbred in him?
He's so talented. His work ethic is second to none. I mean, Mayweather's, he's amazing. He's a different level. His fight IQ is like, every fight he goes in there, he loses three rounds, figures out what to do, and then wins. He's just that, he's that good.
Right. Is it true that Conor McGregor made like $90 million? A friend of mine told me that, and I was like, are you serious?
I don't know
Get
what
the
he
fuck made. Out of here. I heard he made a chunk of change.
I know that he's a different, I know he's a different person right now. Like, he's actually, seems like he's humbled. He's like in shape. He's trying hard. His last fight against Cerrone, he looked better than he's ever looked.
Right.
I hope he says he retired. I hope he doesn't, because this is McGregor I liked. I liked the McGregor when he was first coming up, and then I liked this McGregor. The McGregor that was like making it rain.
Yeah, throwing stuff at buses. I think that was some corny shit. That was corny to me. I was like, dude, just fucking do that shit in the ring.
But at the same time, people were like, listen, the guy was a plumber and came from nothing. And if you're a plumber and you came from nothing, and all of a sudden you get $100 million thrown at you, it's hard to figure out, and the whole country's behind you. But at the same time, look, LeBron James seemed to come from nothing. You don't see him fucking smashing buses and making it rain.
And not only that, he didn't it was dumb. It was dumb on so many levels. He hurt other fighters that didn't have shit to do with it. No, they weren't even fucking part of his bullshit. So that was some bullshit. I was like, fuck him on that one. I mean, I'm a Greg McGregor fan, but I was like, fuck him on that one. And the old guy at the fucking bar. And that was like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? So
I don't know.
I like him, but I still was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You know who seemed like they had the worst was black athletes in the 80s, because they got really famous and a lot of money, and there was no social media. You look at like my favorite athletes in the 80s, Daryl Strawberry, like who was doing like cocaine and like Molly and fucking hookers during the games, like Dwight Gooden. Who missed, the Mets won the World Series and he was on so much crack, he missed the parade after he won.
That's what you're supposed to do.
What's his name? Lawrence Taylor. I mean, that dude.
Yeah, he was at a press conference and there was powder on his fucking nose.
Mike Tyson.
Just like, hey, what's going on?
Mike Tyson. Because I feel like black athletes did not get paid a lot until the 80s. And then they just got like a ton of money and power and fame and pussy and did not know how to handle it.
Oh, no. And that's why with the NBA right now, they got classes where they take these young guys and go, listen, don't spend all your money. Buy some car dealerships. Do this, do that. But before it was like, fuck it, 17 Rolls Royces for everybody. They were out of their minds.
I remember when Tyson got arrested for rape. And he's like, listen, I did not rape that girl. But there's about five or six things I did that I should be in jail for. So I'll go to jail for one of those things. And everyone was like, that's really nice. But I'm like, but what if he's a serial killer? Like, he didn't really specify what those other fucking six things like were. I mean, that's a lot of, like, that's a pretty big net.
It's pretty broad to be like, yeah, you know.
I got a few human dicks in the refrigerator.
Like, what? Yeah, but so that's why you're going to jail. But I think I met him, and he's got those helter skelter eyes. He looks like he can snap at any minute and kill somebody.
Oh, I'm saying he could.
Yeah, and him and Michael Jai White, I went to the gym to just check him out, and man, because I wanted to go in and spar, then I saw these guys and went, maybe I won't. You know where you go, you're hyped, and then you go, these guys will kill me.
It's like you need, like, somebody said that you need a gym to go to before you can join a gym.
Yeah, you got to have a pre-gym.
Yeah.
Like, it's pre-com, but I'm telling you right now, man, that motherfucker is a monster. And Mike Tyson looks like he's got that thing in him, like, well, I'll kill you. Like, he really...
Think about Tyson, though, is that he's short, right? He's pretty short. I could see so many fucking idiots that are like, I could take this guy. And then after the first rib shot, just like...
Yeah, what have I done? Yeah. Oh, no, I never thought that. You know what? But then there was a couple of people that said, like, when you get UFC against a boxer, he's one of those boxers I go, it'd be hard to kick his legs on it. His legs are like fucking fire plugs.
He would have been great in, like, UFC 1 when there were no rules.
Right.
Because he really would bite someone's eye out. Like I mean, like, yeah, there's no headbutting.
I told you. I fucking told you, didn't I?
Yeah, there's nothing that guy wouldn't have done to win a fight.
But then again, he changed with Holyfield. He changed when he fought him, when he bit his ear. Because before that, he wasn't like that. But he also had guidance. When he lost guidance, when he lost his trainer, when he lost some of the people around him, that's when he started going fucking bananas. But before that, he wasn't like that.
Well, they had him. I mean, Customato, they had him fighting every month. They were like, listen, this dude's a fucking train wreck. We got to keep him keep him fighting. So every month they set up a fight. So he didn't have time to fuck around.
Right, but they kept him focused.
When he became champion and he's fighting every year, I mean, there are so many guys out there. I mean, like Mayhem and so many fighters, like when they have him they got him every couple of weeks getting fighting. They're awesome. Like it's when they have time in between.
Mayhem, I'm going to tell you right now, when I hung out with Mayhem, I think he's one of those other people that he's got that helter-skelter shit going on,
oh,
too.
Yeah, no.
He seems like he's one of those people like click and he's gone. So a friend of mine was like, because he was really super cool with me,
yeah.
But there was people that would say shit to him and I could see him go like, who the fuck
Well, I mean, look, he was beating up cops and vandalizing before it was legal. Yeah. If he would have just waited till now, I don't think
he would have been like, it's just another guy. Yeah.
He wouldn't have served any time. They would have had him at the rallies. Like, it would have been like a poster boy.
They'd have been like, yeah, Mayhem. But no,
show on MSNBC or something.
I think that what is it? Not is it bipolar? Not bipolar. Is it where someone?
Yeah.
But he was cool. I hung out with him at the Haha. Yeah. And then I hung out with him again, and he was super chill. But there was points where I was like, I don't know if I want to be around this dude too long.
No, he definitely had that.
That sounds fucked up, but that's the truth.
No, I even said that to him. I mean, he'll be the first one to admit that. Like, when he's on, he's the best. When he's not, he's like, it's terrifying. It's
and he could hurt. Like, he could fucking kill somebody easily.
He's a big dude. People don't realize how big he is.
Yeah. Like,
right now, he's about 240, you know, and he's been fighting his entire life, you know, I don't know. Did you hear what happened over the weekend? Some guy went into a bar in Texas, said they wouldn't let him in. He goes, I'm a UFC fighter. Don't you know who I am? Came back and shot up the bar. Shot 8 people and took off. But I don't think he really was a UFC fighter, but no one even knows who he was or where he was.
No, most UFC fighters are like, well, I'm just going to beat the fucking bouncer up, show you I'm good.
Yeah, right.
I don't think – I haven't heard of only one UFC fighter where I heard where he was a fucking psycho and pulled a gun. Most UFC fighters that I plus I've met a lot through you, and I've met – when I – it's weird. When I do Vegas, because I was doing Vegas so much, that's where I've met the most UFC fighters. Because when I do the show up at when I was doing – Matt would be like, Matt knew a lot of them and say, oh, Shane's in town. And they would come up to the show, and I was like, oh, fuck, this is so – like, to me, I was like, oh, shit, this is cool as hell, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm
they're all part. Super chill. They're all super chill. They don't – never. I never met one that I felt like – like Joe Rogan said a bit about, like, all these guys could rape me, like, if they wanted to, and there's nothing I could do. I never felt that way. I've always – and I think that, like, even with you – the guy, most of the guys, and you say some crazy shit about them, and they love it though.
Dude, they get mad at me. Some people are like, "When are you gonna roast me?" People hit me up all the time, like, "What? I'm not good enough to be roasted?" I'm just like,
"But that's great for you, though."
It's great, but I gotta do research. I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta go. Fucking Google a person and like find the.
You gotta find out some shit about. Oh man, yeah, he wanted to be a tranny one day. Like,
yeah, I gotta find out exactly.
But I'm gonna tell you, man. Comedy wise, there's a lot of cats that I think that, you know, don't consistently bring it, that I've worked with, that I've seen on shows, and they put me on shows, like, even when I was on the road with Attell and Louis C.K., and now Louis kept bringing it all the time, but David Attell didn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes he would kill, and sometimes he would just go off and like, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying, and then just fucking go off. You've been consistent as fuck when you're doing a set.
Yeah.
Like, the Zoom shows are different.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying, when you're doing a set, you can see it's like, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, and I think
that the guys that don't do, like, I don't call them comics. I call them, you know, they're like internet comics. They're not really comics to me. They don't get that.
No.
I don't think they get that. And people think,
of course not.
But it's the truth.
Before we leave, one of the funniest things that I saw Dave Attell, he was hosting the AVN Awards. And it was like, that's like the hardest thing to host because everyone's on coke, no one's listening, chicks are all looking, and he does a joke and nothing works, and he looks in the crowd and goes, dreams. it was just like, no, I don't know if anyone caught it, but I was crying laughing. He just goes,
no, he's hilarious, and I've always been good friends with him, but it's just funny. There's certain guys I think that are consistent. I think that I've seen, like, where they're just every single time I see them, they can bring it. You're one of them.
You
bring it and bring it where people are like, oh, shit. And then I worked – you know who I was surprised how much he was consistently was? Daniel Tosh.
Oh, dude. Tosh is so underrated as a comic.
Hey.
He hates podcasts. He's like, I'm never doing a podcast. That's how he is. Like, he doesn't sell any merch. I just open for him. He's one of those dudes that, like – he's not the nicest person.
No, I did. I was doing the improv in Irvine, and he came each night to do guest sets, and the feature fucking hated him because he was supposed to do 10, and he would do like 25, so the feature would get bumped to like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So they fucking hated him, but he was nice to me.
He was nice to me too. If he knows you're a comic, he's nice to you, but he's also one of those dudes that cannot hide how he truly feels about people. Like he's like a snarky, like angry dude, but like nice. And I appreciate him because there's nothing phony about Daniel Tosh. Like what you see is what you get.
Right.
People are never going to be like, oh, he was what a phony. Like, no, that's him. But he's funny as fuck.
Man, he did guest sets. I was doing Irvine and he did like 3 nights. He came each night and he came with this fucking 6'1" blonde, just mutant. I'm like, where did they build her in the pussy lab? She was fucking amazing. And super cool, but like was ripping. And the feature was mad because like, why do I have to go up after him? I said, because he's doing a guest set. You have to go up after him.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for me, I don't give a fuck. I followed some monsters back in the day when I used to do, remember Catch a Rising Star?
Yeah.
And they would be like, okay, Shane, it's going to be a, we're going to put Dennis Miller up, who was on Saturday Night Live at the time, and then we're going to put you up. I'm like, what? What the fuck? Why are you doing that to me? And then after a while, I started being like, yeah, put me up after Dennis Miller. Fuck him. Like, I started being like, fuck him. And Dane Cook, when I was in Boston doing shows, Dane Cook was a monster, man.
Dane Cook, dude, he's the man.
He still is the man, but. And they would say, well, we need somebody high energy to follow his energy. So they would be like, okay, well, you're going to go up after him. And it was me, him, and Nick DiPaola. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah. Nick's hilarious.
Yeah. So it was Nick, then him, then me. But it was supposed to be me in the middle. And they were like, no, he wants to go up now. And so after I followed him and I did well, when I got to LA and I saw him out here, I totally was comfortable with following all these fucking, I call them monsters. And like, somebody thought I was dissing. I was online doing a thing. And they thought, did you diss those comics? No, a monster is a compliment where I'm from. And if I like fighters, I call monsters. That's actually a good thing.
Oh, that's true. I remember Dane at Dublin's like used to annihilate for an hour. I mean, this is prime Dane before MySpace even, when he just, and people loved him and he was running around the crowd, the stage naked and all kinds of crazy shit. And Alonzo Bowden used to go on after him every time. And half the crowd would leave. People who stayed loved him. But I gained so much respect for Alonzo for doing that every time.
And I think that made Alonzo stronger.
Totally. And like Jim Carrey used to always request to follow Kinison. And Kinison would just murder. And Carrey was like going out, because that's how you get better. That's how you get better.
I think so. I've worked with some comics where I feel like I needed them to like mark the crowd to keep me motivated. I don't know if that makes sense. Cause sometimes I would be like, cause at the time, but when I had Cameron and Xavier and it was like, sometimes I didn't want to be in the comedy club. I wanted to be home. Cause yeah. I was like, I was, when I was on the road, I missed my son so much. I was like, I wouldn't be thinking about comedy. I'm thinking about, yeah, man, we were supposed to watch the Avengers, and I'm here in fucking Wisconsin, yeah. And I should be watching the Avengers with my son, you know what I'm saying? So I think that now that he's grown, fuck him. Now that he's 22, fuck him. But I'm telling you right now, man, once we get out of this, the comics, you're going to see the difference between the comics and the people who ain't comics.
Oh, 1,000%. I hope the ones that aren't comics quit too, because they're just taking up fucking space for real.
Are you saying?
I do. I'm just like,
God dude. Damn, Adam, tell them what you really feel.
I'm like, dude, even on Zoom shows, because I do an hour every Friday on Zoom. I do my own show on Zoom, and I'm making from tips. I make what I would make on the road headlining, like. Like, and it's just, people throw me hundreds, like, for the shows. I'm bringing it. Like, on the Tuesday 8-minute show, I'll do some new shit. When I do an hour, I'm doing an hour fucking hard.
Right.
And because I know I'm going to go right back to headlining. I don't want to miss a beat, you know? But there are people even on these Zoom shows that I book, they're like, well, today I went to the store. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
You can't really say that because they're from a different, I don't know if I'm saying it right. They're from a different school than us. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
DeVry? I mean, fucking.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not from, like, they haven't done bars and one-nighters or go up at, like, Twilight. You can't really gauge them that way. I just did a Zoom show. Well, last night it got thrown. Because we got hacked and a bunch of people were like, kill niggers, die niggers. So, and I mean like 100 times. So they stopped it. But I'm going to do that Nowhere Comedy Club show.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And
you don't have to. I mean, look, that's cool. You're doing that, but you don't have to do that. Do it because they're going to take a piece. Do it yourself. Like, just fucking be like, yo, I'm doing a Zoom show. Get an opener. Here, put the Venmo, put the thing, tip me. It all goes to you. Like, what do you need to, what do you got to put cuts into people? I mean.
No, I know. Yeah, everybody, a couple comics that already had done it. Ian Edwards had done it. And I thought, and Alonzo had did it. And so I was like.
Yeah, no, it's cool. But I'm saying you could do it all yourself. Like, You don't need people to cut out your money.
Yeah, I because the one I did last week, because they, you know, you said they could tip each comic, and I had to do like 20 minutes. And when I'm doing 20 minutes, I'm like, no, I'm gonna do like, right? And I was, fucked me up, man. I got like, when I got the tip, it was like $150. It was from one person. Yeah. I was like, hey, man, I haven't been able, they've been stuck in the house, haven't been going to con clubs. I always come see you at the Laugh Factory. Since I couldn't come see you, here you go. Like, because yeah, there's people that I would see at the Laugh Factory, because mainly the Laugh Factory when I would do the improv, that so used to going out to comedy clubs, and now they're like, damn, I love going to comedy clubs.
I do it every Friday night, 8 o'clock. I have the same opener. I put my Venmo on the bottom, my Cash App. End of the show, I'm just like.
But you got to, you also, well, you're right.
You can do it. You can do it.
No, yeah, I know. I think I could do it. I just didn't think of it that way. I'm going through the nowhere comedy. I could even name it whatever the fuck I wanted.
Fucking Shanks Comedy Show is what you call it. You know what I'm saying? Shanks Comedy Club. And it's just you and everyone tips you and do it every Thursday. I mean, you could do the Nowhere Comedy Club too. Maybe get a feel for it. But I'm saying, like, I'm like, dude, I could do it myself. I mean, the annoying part is I got to hit people up sometimes during the day. Be like, hey, come check me out tonight. Check me out tonight. But I mean, that takes, what, an hour? It's an hour of work, you know? And then people are like, they come, they're like, holy shit, that was the most I laugh, yada, yada, yada. And it's boom, you know? And then it's like, fuck, it's great.
But you know what? Now I got to email back Steve Hotseller.
Well, I mean, if you book, do it. But I'm saying, you
no,
can do it.
Okay. He offered me a bunch of dates.
Yeah. I'm just saying, just do it yourself. Just do it yourself.
But sometimes anyway, you get Zoom hacked, and then if you put the Zoom.
Well, there, what you do is Zoom hack. You just have to just you got to mute everyone on entry, and then just remove them if they're being idiots.
Wow.
And then do that during the opener, so get somebody to do 15 minutes. So I just remove anybody that's fucking being a dick.
Right. Or like the guy that showed his dick when I did your show.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, that. Yeah. Exactly.
That threw me. I was like, Is this fucking happening right now? Like, I've never done a show where this happened, so this is new. So, I mean, but yeah, man, I definitely think that, you know, the main thing with these Zoom shows is, I mean, I made some money. I can't front. I've been lucky, but man, some of them are weird, man. Like, some guy popped in and was like dressed in like a chick and was like dancing. I was like, nobody's gonna take that box and fucking delete it. Nobody's.
Yeah, no, you can do it all yourself. But anyway, listen, thanks for watching the podcast. Shang,
all right, man.
If you hit me, if you text me or hit me up, I'll tell you what to do. Because I'm making what we made at the Laugh Factory that time, plus some, every week. So, thank you guys. Thank you, Michael Johnson. Shang, you're the best.
Later, man. You too. Trap, sauce, and trap, don't sauce, trap. Түүний сонс тө хөг чим дөр бүлэн. Та дас тоотан дөр бүлэн мөрөв та.